You know, sino mo yung mga tanong? Sino? Kasi si Julius, no? Julius was asking some of the things also about the prophetic in terms of worship. Anybody here have any questions, concerns, let's say, in your context, in the youth ministry? Anybody here have questions? May tanong ba? May tanong ba? David. Ah, matanong na niya. Yeah.
Yeah, hello. It's more of asking for advice because, of course, we believe that the prophetic ministry is very, very important. But at the same time, sometimes as campus missionaries, we see it, or maybe for some, sees it as too spooky. That you don't want to go that direction kaagad. But what is your advice for us, maybe campus missionaries, if we move in that gifting, and then we want to engage young people or maybe unbelievers not yet in the Lord and move in the prophetic without being, you know,
weird.
Yeah, weird, so to speak, or yeah.
I think part of the weirdness that you see outside is the terminologies that people use. Because sometimes they're too spooky spiritual. You know, I see a cloud. I see clouds moving, you know. Sometimes people will not understand that. You know, as Christians, kasi, as we move in the gifts, we have to learn to filter some of the things that we hear. Just because I've learned in the prophetic ministry that just because I hear something from God doesn't mean that I have to blur everything out. There are times the Lord would speak to me about a certain individual, and then the Lord would tell me, don't say it, I just want you to know. I just want you to know about this person. And then, because there are many times I've been in many, many situations, I knew exactly what this person is going through. But I don't say the word of the Lord. I don't declare because I didn't feel the time to say it. Like there are times when, like one example is this, I was in the plane, I was I was flying from Washington, D.C., going flying to Seattle. I was in the plane, I was tired, and sabi ko, Lord, I'm just going to sleep. Eh, puro-puro yung flight, but finally, yung seat ko, yung row namin, may tao dun sa window, I was on the aisle, tapos bakante yung sa gitna. Sabi ko, praise God, I can sleep, I can, you know. But somehow, I kept looking at this guy, and this guy kept talking to me, kept asking me, how are you, where are you from? Ganun, eh, antok na antok ako sa akin. Parang, so matulog eh, parang I just wanted to shut him up. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God spoke to me and told me that this guy is separated, and this guy is heartbroken, and he misses his kids. And the Lord was speaking to me all this, okay. And then I wanted to pray for him. And this guy, I have no, how do I say it? And then so finally, I couldn't, you know, help it anymore. So I looked at this guy, and I said, you know, I hope you don't find this weird, but you know, I'm a Christian, and can I just pray for you? And then I started to pray, Lord, I pray that Lord that you minister to him. I didn't say, Sister Lord, I didn't say anything like that. I just said, Lord, I pray today that you just help him with his family, help him with his kids. I know that he misses his kids. I know that, Lord, he's going through issues and problems with his marriage. So I pray that you comfort him today. You know, when I opened my eyes, he was crying. His shoulders were shaking. And I called the Lord, that's the healing issue. Excuse me, I need an issue for him. And then he started, got up his computer, showed me the pictures of his kids. These are my kids, I miss my kids. I haven't been with them for so long. And then he started, you know, I used to go to church, but now I don't want to go to church because I'm a bit angry with God because of what happened with my family. And then that's the time I said, you know, the Lord's going to heal your marriage. The Lord's going to cause your kids to. He kept crying. So that's an example of you can actually be prophetic and not be weird. You can actually go into campus and not. You can just offer a prayer. You don't have to go to a person and say, I feel like I have to turn around. Man, if you do that, man, we have. You see, prophetic doesn't have to be weird. moving in the gifts does not have to be weird. You can just be normal. You can be in a normal conversation and actually be prophetic, or you can actually move in the gifts without being. Joe, do you have a question?
It's really good. And I think only one point that in dito na you can be prophetic without being weird, as in gusto ko i-frame na yun eh. Because even at that question, the fact that we asked that question, parang may masama ng side to this thing, which nakakahina yun, because that's not the way the Bible talks about it at all. It's never something na ingat ka lagi. Diba? Kasi like even now, we're talking about why we have to be careful, why we have to be apologetic about it, because parang nagtitiptoe tayo around it, and I was that way before. Because to me, it doesn't make sense. It's so prone to abuse. I'd rather not deal with it na lang. Which we're losing out majorly in the church,
right, yeah.
If we think that way. Because God gave it. It would be like, you know, when we natatama tayo, just when our students are in relationships, nagbubuntisan sila, so we tell them, bawal na mag-boyfriend, girlfriend.
That's right.
Instead of saying what the biblical stance is, and the way kasi to combat the falsehood is not to avoid it, but to show the real thing na di naman kailangan ko, pero meron.
Yeah.
That was powerful pa nga, kasi yung application na totoo, alam mo yan, hindi siya, I mean, you know, yung mga tele-evangelists, yung mga exads, yung mga poti yung code, yung nag-ahagis ng code sa mga tao. Hindi ganun eh. The problem kasi, the reason why we think it's weird is may monopoly na sila sa market na yan eh. Pero kung may iba tayong option na, ay hindi pala ganun ko weird, pwede pala.
Okay, that's a good joke. That's really good. You know, in fact, every time I go to churches in the body of Christ, they always tell me it's exactly the same. I don't want anything to do with the prophetic or spiritual gifts because it's weird. And they block off the blessing that God intended for every church to have. But because of a lack of teaching, a lot of understanding in this area, they end up just closing the door. But really, God gave the gifts and the prophetic as a blessing. It can really turbocharge your ministry. Can you imagine an evangelist moving in the prophetic and the word of knowledge and word of wisdom? Can you imagine an evangelist knowing exactly what people need at that particular time? Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's powerful. Can you imagine a teacher standing up and teaching the word of the Lord, knows exactly what's going on in the hearts of the people? The teaching becomes more powerful, because that's the beauty of preaching every Sunday. That's the advantage. Because I'm so conscious with the prophetic, sometimes when we go through the preaching preparation, I hear what they're saying, but they don't know, this is what, for my context, this is exactly what they mean. So when I go to churches, when I preach, say, every Sunday in different churches, I don't have one church. But I go to a church, and then I preach the word of the Lord, and I see people's lives transformed. And the beauty, the joy that I feel when I see their faces changes, like, umibay mukha nila, and they end up crying because you know you hit the mark. That's the beauty of actually moving into perfecting in everything that we do. Counseling, somebody asked me, see, David was asking me. Kasi the word, that was the word that was spoken to you, diba? Parang the word I gave him was, you will not only move in the in words, perfect, giving words of prophecy, but you're going to move in prophetic gestures. He was asking me, I don't need to say, you know, what does that mean? I told him, let's say for example, you're in a service and then the Lord speaks to you about that person. And then the Lord tells you, I want you to give him some money. And then if you obey the word of the Lord and then you actually give that person money, the Lord will give you this certain money. That person will be on some way. That is prophetic gesture. You didn't say the word of the Lord, but you acted the word of God. That is prophetic gesture. Those things are powerful as well. There's some things that God will tell you to do. You don't even have to say a word, but it becomes so powerful because that person gets ministered to. Mm-hmm. So to me, if we learn to discern the voice of God, which comes up with which our next topic will be, it's discerning the voice of God. That's found in lesson five. Yeah.
I think one nice thing about what you're saying also is ministering in the prophetic is not something you wait for a specific slot, like a specific presbytery slot,
mm-hmm.
but you can add it into whatever you're already doing.
Yeah.
And I blessed ako when I was sharing that Saturday morning, you told me out of the blue na you prayed for me, then sabi mo, Lord, I prayed for a prophetic unction today, so pa nga, no? And while I was preaching, I got that, sa yung Joel 2 and all of that, I only had the verse, but I didn't have that planned, yung whole superhero thing and all of that. Pero when I was there, I felt like there was a time to minister to the people, not just to have the minister to young people, pero kayo rin, yung may ganun. And that happens, or even in the School of Campus Ministry, you're teaching a subject, and then you see that medyo, you feel na, wait, pigil tayo dito kung kailangan ng ministry time sa message na to. Yung lahat na lang ginagawa na, halukan na lang natin ng ganun,
yeah.
Pwede mong gawin yan eh.
Yeah.
So, yun yan, turbo charge. I love how you said that.
You know, it's funny because even in worship, ako, I believe in preparation. Let's say, I believe in that. There's so much emphasis on preparation, which to me, that's important. I hope you hear what I'm trying to say. But there are times to say, the whole point of the services that we have is to have an encounter with God. Is that correct? Is that we want to. There are times I've been in a... One example is the fourth prayer fasting. They asked me to preach about missions. It's so funny. They came to Paulo and after him broke and he preached about missions, all of this. So I went to the service and they went, I think, 45 minutes of praise and worship. The Lord was really there. People were, you know, one after the other, one pastor come up and give the word of the Lord. And then Paulo, get up. Jonathan, come, get up. And people were crying. And I was about to preach. And I looked back and people were crying. They were all there. So I go, parang, I'll get up there. Talk about missions, and they're all crying. It's like, I don't think I can preach this message in missions. I think the Lord is still ministering to people. And then he goes, and I went to your dad, I said that, you know, I think I need to minister to them because the Lord's still here. So finally I got up there, and I had to share something which I did not prepare. And then people started, continued, people that delivered, people were crying. And then later on, because yeah, they had to pray for missions, and then towards 5 minutes, 10 minutes, towards the end, Jonathan would go, okay, now let's pray for missions. Everybody started laughing because everybody knew it was there for missions. So many times we say, we have to be comfortable with the voice of the Holy Spirit. The reason why people don't step out, because they're scared, they don't know. It doesn't look good kasi. I mean, you know, sometimes when you step out in faith, it doesn't look good because sometimes you're out in the limb, you're out in the open, and you're prone to what happens if you miss God. Sometimes I've taken some risk to do that, but I've saw results and power come as a result of that. So like for example, even worship, somebody was talking to me, Julius was telling me during worship, if you're the leader of that meeting, of that congregation, you prepare a song, but sometimes the Lord can minister with one song. And sometimes you just with one song. I've seen this happen over and over, but the Lord was ministering about this one song. There are times I would tell the worship leader, don't sing the next song, just stick to this song and minister, and then the Lord's going to move. It's not always that way. That's why I believe in preparation, because you have to prepare. But when the Lord does come, we have to be ready that when the Lord speaks and the Lord moves, that we're ready to say, God, okay, I'm going to go in and step in and believe you for something this morning or this afternoon. So, you understand what I'm saying? I think in everything that we do, it's not just a prophetic presbytery moment. In everything that when you leave this building today, when you go to the canteen, in all your conversations, it's just being conscious of the voice of God that actually brings in the power when you do things. Good? Any other question before we get into the discerning of the voice of God? Yes, Joe. Okay, I'll have her first start.
Well, ang ganda sa akin mo, as a leader, kahit ibang tao na believe, that's another application pa of the prophetic. Let's say you're the worship service coordinator, or you're the lead pastor for a service. You could be there, and you could be sensing, kahit hindi ko umaasya, dinadirect mo yung mga tao, and hindi, tama yung ginagawa ko, dyan ka lang, ikaw, antay ka lang. Alam mo yun,
yeah.
Ang dami pang application.
Yeah. It's fun. Actually, when you get used to it, It's really fun. Sarap ang service pagka. Kasi I mean, you know, sometimes you get into this cycle of just you know exactly, okay, we have two praise, two worship, and then the transition, and then blah blah blah, and then you, which is fine. But many times you just have to learn to speak the word of the Lord about the certain issue of a specific time. and learning to just move in that. I think we're coming to a place where we're going to once again help us, help the minister, help the pastors, help. I think that's why Pastor Manny and your dad is really pushing on the prophetic to train more people to do it. Now, when I teach in this, I'm not in any way expert, no, because when you teach about the voice of God, how many of you are all learning to hear the voice of God? It's not like I'm expert, I know exactly when God speaks, boom, I move. It's not that. You know, I was asking Jim LaFoon, as we go into the topic of discerning God's voice, I was asking Jim LaFoon, how can you teach accuracy? How sure are you that you're accurate in your hearing? Anybody here, sometimes that's the fear, right? Because I hope I'm accurate. I hope, you know, when you do prophetic ministry, sometimes I feel like, no, not that accurate in word. Because I'm going to be accurate. I'll be a false prophet, you know. You know, sometimes I'm afraid to step up. But you know what Jim LaFoon said? Yeah, the funny thing. Something that you can never teach accuracy. Something now, but you can develop accuracy as you fall in love with God. Something, the closer you are with the Father, accuracy is not an issue anymore. Because as you learn to have intimacy with the Father, then it's easier to speak the word of the Lord. Accuracy is not your concern. You're just saying what you feel the Father is saying. Like, for example, a voice. You know, I asked him before, how do you know the voice of God? I mean, how sure are you? And he looked at me and he asked, do you know the voice of your wife? I go, yeah. How do you recognize the voice of your wife? Let's say you're in a mall, when Sis Ida, she has a job, I know exactly her when she's a job. I know exactly. I know the voice. You know why? Because I've learned for the last 25 years, I've learned to hear the voice of Ida. That when she says a word, sometimes when she burps, I know that's my wife. I knew why, because I know her. The same, I don't know. What, anybody here have kids? CJ, you have kids, right? They were your kids, when you go to a playground, you leave them there. And then, dami mga bata. And then, pag may umiyak, then you pause, you stop, and then you go, ay, yeah, yeah. you know exactly. Growing up, when Jonathan would cry, I know exactly, we would pause. Or Sabina, we would say, that's Sabina, bukagat. I know exactly the voice. The same way with God. The more you spend time with the Father and have intimacy with Him, you end up learning to discern His voice. That's the only way. That's why many times you just have to step out in just doing what God has called you to do, because that's the only way you learn to discern the voice of God. So, discerning the voice of God. John 10:27, we know that my sheep listen to my voice and I know them and they follow me. But one of the most important evidences that we have been truly been born again and have become followers of Christ is that we now have the ability to hear God's voice. Jesus is our shepherd who desires to lead us and guide us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We've earlier established, you don't have to read that. Learning to discern God's voice is like tuning in to a certain radio station. The radio signal is already present in the airwaves, but we won't receive the music unless we tune into the right frequency. Our ability to know God's voice is crucial to our being able to move in spiritual gifts. The more we are sensitive to God's voice, the more we can be confident and effective in our ministry. Now, there are three ways we receive communication from God. Three ways. There's number one is seeing, and then number two is hearing, and number three is feeling. I call this the springboard principle. Ever say springboard? You guys, anybody here tried using the springboard, jumping out? To catapult you into the water, right? Now, these are the things that kind of like a springboard when you start moving in the gifts. Sometimes I'm always caught off guard. I say I would go to a certain place, I go to a certain party, and all of a sudden, you know, a pastor will come up to me and tell me, Pastor John, can you please prophesy over this couple? And sometimes you're sometimes wala akong word. I can't tell them. Kasi they know me, I can I prophesy, di ba? I can say, you know, wala akong word sa kanya. But it's always, I've always caught in this situation. I go to a parking lot. After every church I go to a parking lot. May nakaabang doon, nakaabang yung pastor. Yung daughter ko, pwede mo pa-pray. Everywhere I go, then I go to the grocery, they always ask me, I see my pastor, pwede ako ng prayer. Like the grocery, it's a aisle. And sometimes I ask God, what do I do? So these are what I call the springboard principle. There are some things that I would ask God, God, give me something, a picture. The first one is seeing, right? So it's mental images. These are mental pictures which come either instantaneously or progressively as you pray for revelation from God. Scripture for that is John 1:48. How do you know me? Nathaniel asked Jesus. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. So mental images, pictures. God gives me pictures. For some people, I see a picture. Like Karina, our brother there who just got married, see Daniel. You know, when he was standing up there and he was believing God for breakthrough in the air finance. And all of a sudden I saw the number six. So I declared number six, there's six new partners that's coming. So the Lord gives me pictures about certain things, about certain people. So that's how many times that could be a springboard. You may not have a word, but God gives you a picture. And then you just step out in faith with that picture that God has given you. And just do it. One example, I do an exercise. I don't know if I'll do it here. I do an exercise. In the early days, I used to do exercises about give a picture. I don't know if we did that in our prophetic activation. Have a picture of a certain individual. If you don't have to explain it, but the last person, let's say, grupo yan, tatlo yan, or apat, the first three will have a picture. The first one will interpret those pictures. So you did activation of it. And then one hammer. I saw a hammer. And I saw a table. And I saw them. And the last person will end up interpreting the picture. In fact, I use this springboard of mental image and pictures when I travel to another church. I go to a church and I ask God, God, give me a word. Sometimes the Lord gives me pictures about this, about the church. Like, for example, I went to church and I saw the clock. The clock wasn't working. And I said, no, Lord, what are you saying? And then the Lord began to speak to me. He said, there are things in their church that it's there, but it's not working. They pretend it's working, but it's not there. But it's not really working. And I said, Lord, well, what's not working? Oh, well, their relationships, they're not working. It's there, but they go through the motions with their relationships. So I got that. It's a springboard. And the Lord spoke to me. That's it. I wanted to minister that word to them. And you know what? I started ministering. And then the word of the Lord came because of that picture. You see, there are some things that God gives you, picture, mental images about certain things. That helps me. That's a springboard to me that helps me in ministering to people. Visions. Letter B is visions. These are supernatural occurrences where the Lord chooses to open our natural eyes to the spiritual realm. Sometimes the Lord gives you a vision. 2 Kings 6:17, and Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. The Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. One example, when I went to Yogyakarta last Sunday, I was preaching. This never happened before. This was like my first time. You know, when I was preaching, and then all of a sudden, I saw a picture. Because, Joseph, did you know that Yogyakarta has 1 million students in population? It's the university city of Indonesia. Most of the major campus in that country goes to Yogyakarta. And then students from Jakarta, all over Indonesia, they all go to Yogyakarta. It's 1 million. We need campus ministers there. You know, one day, you know, I'm down there. And then when I looked at the church, Muslim families. And then when I was preaching, and the Lord gave me a vision, I'm not being spooky, okay? I saw, all of a sudden, I saw a vision of thousands of young people come to church. It's almost like I was preaching to thousands of young people. And I said, you know, I saw a vision of thousands of young people coming to this house. And I started to cry. I started to weep. And then the pastor started to weep. And then he came up to me, Pastor Jimmy, comes to me and tells me, Pastor, you know, that has been our vision. But somehow we just don't know how to do campus ministry. And then he comes up to me, can you help us? So we go, I'll talk to Joseph now. I'll tell him.
Whoever's interested.
Grabe, it was amazing. And then I was there, I was preaching. The Lord gave me a vision. The Lord gave me a vision of the city, of the church. You see, powerful here. Anyway, questions so far? Good? In the year, Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted in the train of his robe filled the temple. Next, dreams. It will be dreams. Anybody here dream? I mean that the Lord speaks to you. It doesn't happen to me. There's some people, you know, they dream a lot, you know. Like Mini Carlos, she dreams. There's some people that dreams. Anna, you dream? Okay. Sometimes you remember the dreams. But when I dream, I forget it. When I wake up, you know, it's... But I know that there are moments that when I dream, I know, I remember the whole thing. And then I know God was speaking. People have been asking me, how do you know it's a dream from God? How do you know if the dreams that you have, what if you don't understand? But I always tell them to pray that God interprets a dream for you. Pray that God will show you the meaning of those dreams. And sometimes dreams will just be you. But sometimes God does speak through dreams and visions. I wish we could have more of that. I kid you not, there are people now in our ministry, in our movement, basic parents that came up to me and basically told me, Pastor Joe, I know that you're into the prophetic and all that, you train. Can you help my kids? I go, that's okay. Yeah, why? Because my kids are scary. Why? Because, you know, we're walking and then they see visions. And then all of a sudden, they have a word from the Lord. They're only 18 and 19, and they have all this. And sometimes I'm so scared. Like, be quiet. Don't speak. Don't say anything. You know, he would be so scared. He would tell them to stop. And some of them would have dreams. And I realize, even in our ministry today, there are a number of people that actually dream and see visions. They're not weird. You just have to focus them and train them and hope them towards the right direction. You know, anything can say without leadership and discipleship, whatever ministry, without leadership, discipleship, and harvest becomes weird. Did you know prophetic or moving in the gifts becomes weird without leadership, without vision, without purpose? Everything becomes weird. It has to be with that in mind. That's why I like moving in the gifts, and I like the unique position that I'm at, because I used to be a pastor. So I used to be a pastor of a local church. I know the abuses of the gifts. So when I teach it, I always think of local church. I always think of what works in a local church setting. So anyway, let's go on. So dreams, next springboard is hearing. Anybody here that moved in the prophetic, you're in this springboard? Anybody here, you hear? You see that you hear the word of the Lord? You hear something, yeah, like Joseph, like our brother there. Sometimes it's not a vision, it's not a picture, but you hear God say it. Sometimes, you know,
not audibly.
No, not audibly, in the spirit. In the spirit, you hear. Well, there are people, like there are the old prophets that they, I don't move in that. I don't hear the voice of God audibly. But I hear it in the spirit. I hear some things in the spirit. That when I hear like there was one person just as you remember in Indonesia, I'll make it local than another story. I was in Santa Rosa Church. Anybody here from Santa Rosa Church? I was ministering to this couple, and then I kept hearing the word. Saudi Arabia with this couple. And I was asking the Lord, what about Saudi Arabia? And then I just felt in my spirit that the Lord said, I'm going to move them to Saudi Arabia. I'm going to move them. But I didn't say it specifically that the Lord says, I'm going to move to Saudi Arabia. So I had to filter. I just sensed that there's going to be a moving. In fact, I sensed the Middle East. You know, even that, I just felt, when I was prophesying that, yung mukha nila parang nangasin, parang. They were smiling, better parang ngasin. So after prophesying, I didn't know what was that. And then I found out later, about 7 months later, that this couple, pala, when I was prophesying, they didn't want, they dismissed the word because they felt like I missed it. Middle East. We don't want to move in the Middle East. But I kept hearing Saudi Arabia. And then what happened was that after 6 months, a company in Saudi Arabia calls the husband and offers a job for the husband for Saudi Arabia. And then 2 days after, the wife gets a call from Saudi Arabia and then offers her a job, good offers on the hospital.
Different companies.
And then they went into Google and they found out that the companies were right next to each other. And then their hair start, they look at each other, what? They start, and they go, that's the prophecy 6 months ago. And what they did, they went to the Santa Rosa office asking for their prophecy. Because they didn't even get the CD of their prophecy. Because they felt like it was totally weird. How can somebody say that people are in Saudi Arabia? And so they dismissed it. But I kept hearing the word of the Lord for them. So, how many of that's funny? You know, dami ko storya ng ganyan. You know, sometimes I need to write or even journal some of the answered prayer or answered prophetic words anyway, encourage mo kayo. I mean, anyway, I'll give you more stories. I have lots of stories that will tell you. Ito naman, the next one is feeling. Ito. Dito naman, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. This one, sometimes I ask the Lord for peace. The feelings of peace when there's a... This is what I ask the Lord sometimes when I go to a certain place, when I go to certain... Lord, give me peace. When I have a... The Lord would give me a certain feeling about... I don't know, that there's this ability to be able to feel what people are feeling. There was this when I was in the States, I was in this church. I went to this lady, and I discerned sometimes, how do you know when you have a word, I don't blurt it out right away because I could miss it. What I try to do, I investigate first. So sometimes when I have a word of the Lord, and the word that I got for this couple was that this lady was separated. And then there's this feeling of hope, there's this feeling in her that I sense that she wants to get back with the husband. And so I didn't say, but you're separated and you want to get back. I didn't say, kasi natatakot ako. Baka mami, kung yung sasabi na parang, huh? Kung sasabi mo. So I don't say that. I just felt like the Lord is going to restore relationships. And then the Lord is going to restore your relationship with your husband. And then after that, she came up to me and basically went to me in private and said, what do you mean restore my relationship with that? Because she wanted to investigate more. And I told her in a split, I took the risk because I got the cue already. She came to me and said, the Lord's going to restore your marriage. I said, Lord, you know, I believe it, but I have no idea how it's going to happen. A year after, for NBD trip, I went back to that church and I was preaching. After I preached, this lady comes up to me and tells me, Pastor. And then this girl, this is my husband. You know, we're back together. We don't get along yet, but we're back together. But because you gave a word last year that we're going to be together, that the Lord is going to restore. The Lord restored that. Here he is, my husband. He introduces me to the husband. Right there, I was standing. I shook his hand. I said, praise God. So, amen. So there's some things that those are springboards. You have to trust the springboard. They call it the springboard principle. That sometimes you have a feeling, you have a word, you have a vision, you have a, you know, those are the springboard principles that, you know, that, okay, do we have more time? Any questions so far? What time do you have to take a break?
No,
we don't have a break. Tuloy-tuloy na until 12? I would, praise God. Are you guys okay with that?
Yes.
Now, the ways of the Spirit. The ways of the Spirit. The ability to discern the voice of God is developed not only by understanding the different modes by which we receive communication from Him, but also realizing that He has certain ways in which He relates with us. Jim LaFoon, in his Spiritual Gifts course, Manual, gives three criteria to evaluate whether the communication we receive is truly from the Spirit of God or not. These are letter A, message or content. Once again, this is, repeating myself once again, the authority of scripture principle. This is very important. Any form of prophetic revelation which is not in accordance with scripture must be rejected. There is no such thing as a revelation from God which adds to or takes away from scripture. Okay. Next is the fulfillment principle. if the prophetic word is forthtelling, it should come to pass. If it does not, it must be rejected. Deuteronomy 18:22. There are, however, this is a good point. There are, however, two factors which must be considered. Letter A, prophetic timing. How many know there's timing to everything? We know that, for those of you that have been to the prophetic training, I mentioned that sometimes when the Lord says now, the Lord said, for the Lord, where the Lord says now, now could mean, 3 years. Okay? There is a prophetic terminology. There's a time element to everything. Like, for example, this role that I'm playing now as a prophetic, traveling prophetic minister, when I go from church to church, training prophets, has been prophesied over me 24 years ago, but never been fulfilled. I always wondered in my mind, this word doesn't make sense. This word doesn't confirm, but I don't see it. And then 24 years later, I'm actually doing the prophetic word that was spoken over me 24, 25 years later. So there's a prophetic, there's a time element to everything that's been spoken over you. Anybody here, you receive a prophetic word that hindi pa nagka-come to pass? Anybody here? Okay. There's a time element to it. Many times you just have to believe and wait for that word to be fulfilled. Because in His time, He will fulfill that. There's a prophetic, unless God gives revelation, a prophet may have no idea how long it will be before this prophecy is fulfilled. That's why when people ask me for interpretation for prophecy, I tell them, I'm sorry. I have no interpretation for the word I just gave you. Because I don't. I can't interpret it. I can't tell them when. I just don't know. This is what I think God is saying. Then you just declare. There's a prophetic time element to it. The Old Testament prophets saw things hundreds of years in the future. Yet the prophecies made them sound like they would be fulfilled the next day. I mean, sometimes the prophecies that you receive, that may feel like it will be fulfilled the next day. But many times it does get fulfilled later on. Letter B, prophetic vision. According to 1 Corinthians 13:9, we know in part and prophesy in part. In other words, prophetic revelation is an imperfect form of revelation. Many times the prophetic revelation we receive will not give us a total picture. Like example, when Jim LaFoon prophesied that God had called his church to build a new building, he did not foresee all the difficulties that would be involved. When we see or hear is true but not necessarily complete, these factors must especially be kept in mind when judging predictive or directive words. Okay, prophetic vision. Now, number three, this is also important, the threefold principle, the threefold result principle, which is found in 1 Corinthians 14:3. This is prophecies are given for the strengthening, encouragement, and comfort of God's people. Did you know that you are safe within this boundary? Encouragement, strength, and comfort. Like when people, when I always tell them to move in the gifts, the question they always ask me, Pastor, how do I know if I'm hearing it? Sabi ko, if it is, the motive is this, encouragement, strength, and comfort, you're okay. As long as it does that, then you're okay. And then later on, you graduate towards deeper things. But if you move in this, in the realm of encouragement, strength, and comfort, then I'm telling you, you're safe. You're okay. I think that's why, did you know that one of the most popular courses ever since in Victory, every time you sign up for spiritual gifts, it's always packed. It's always full. Every church you go to, people are hungry for spiritual gifts because everybody's longing for encouragement, for strength, and comfort. But some people, they're afraid because they feel like their hearts are going to be, they feel like the word of knowledge will scan their hearts. And all of a sudden, everything that's in me will be exposed. But you know, I tell them, you know, we're not going to do that. God is not, hindi siya napapahiyan ng tao. We are not, we don't embarrass people. You know what, let me tell you, there are actually a lot of prophetic ministry outside that actually embarrass people. Many times in our ministry here, there were times when we in the early days there were prophets that came accurate, scary prophets. I mean, when I say scary accurate, they would go and basically prophesy over people. But sometimes the words that were given were accurate, but it wasn't the time to say it. There were times it didn't come with encouragement, strength, and comfort. Because I believe no matter what word you receive, whether it be correction, adjustment, whatever it is, it has to fall under the category of encouragement and comfort. Because God wants to lift people up. It's not to put people down. So this prophet came up, and he basically prophesied over this guy. The problem was that the prophecy was so accurate that he exposed this guy in front of his wife and his kids. And so the leadership had to correct this so-called prophet, and we told this prophet, hey, your word is so accurate, but you know what? This guy is already going through counseling with us. You didn't have to say it, but you know what? This guy would not want to receive any correction. He said, no, I heard the word of the Lord, and I just declared it. But we told him, yeah, I believe you got the word of the Lord, but there was no wisdom in sharing it, because you end up, pinahayaan niya yung tao at saka yung pamilya. It was not a good thing. Because I believe that the prophetic has to be in a place where you lift up people and encourage them. Remember Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones? Remember that story? Remember when God basically told Ezekiel, you know, prophesy over this Valley of Dry Bones. Prophesy life to it. He could have easily gone there if we were the old time, expose everything. The Lord says to your dead. It's already dead. But he spoke the word of the Lord, come to life. And he heard a rattling sound, the bones started to come together, and there was life. Because that's the beauty of spiritual gifts, is that you speak life into people. You speak life into them. Because when people come to church, when they come to your small group, when they come into your youth meetings, I have a picture of them coming into church, they're all weary. School, they're all weary because of all the discouragement with their parents, what's happening at home. But you know what? One word from the Lord can lift them up. One word can change them. So these are the things that you have to look for. So these are the threefold result principle. Number four is order principle. If we receive or hear a prophetic revelation given which is not in line with the flow of the Spirit in our own lives or in a corporate service, we should judge it carefully. The following two examples should help clarify this principle. If God is dealing with me about not spending enough time with my wife, and a voice tells me to go into the mountains and fast, I will judge it carefully and submit it to my pastor. You understand what I'm saying? There must be order. Another example is, if God is speaking to his people in a corporate service about love, and words such as, the fires of my judgment are coming upon you, says the Lord, is given, how many of us sometimes you just have to judge those words? Sometimes you can give a word that could be accurate, but the spirit could be wrong. Sometimes you can move in the gifts. What you're doing and what you're saying could be right, but sometimes the spirit behind it is wrong. I know some people, I have to correct it. There's some person that say, yung gusto niya sana sabihin, the Lord loves you. Pero yung dating niya, the Lord loves you! Ito na natapot yung ano, parang hindi congruent yung spirit behind how it was said and the message that's being said. So many times you have to learn there's order principle. Let me give you an example again. Many, many years ago in the church in Valley Verde, I was a pastor there. Pastor Steve was there, and there was the MC. So there was one time during worship, you know, after worship, somebody would come up there with a microphone. And this word basically, the word of the Lord was this, the Lord says you're sinning, and the Lord says you need to repent. That was something. If you're the MC, how do you get up there? Yeah, I agree with the word of you. All of you are sinners! You know, I can't do that. And then Pastor Steve basically looked at me and goes, you deal with that. Kasi ako yung MC. So I asked God, give me wisdom. How do I sasalubin ito? Not to hurt the person. The person that gave the word, that had a good heart. But how do you correct it, and how do you come out the win-win? So I got up there. I stood up there and I said, you know, that word that our sister gave is only for three people here today. I said, it's for three people. Now, if that's you, just repent. The grace of God is there. But for the most part, that's not the word for you. Oh, sabi ko, praise God. So when I said that, na-deliver na set free yung mga tao, because they realized that word was not for them corporately, but it was only directed for a certain few. So there are some things like that. Now it has to come in order. We have to learn to flow in the Spirit of God in the service. So sometimes, you know, how many have had a struggle? You're leading a service, and then you have a word, you have a direction, and then somebody from your group has another direction. What do you do with that? How do you tell that person? You know what I do? Just advise, because most of you are leaders here. When somebody comes to you and gives you a word that should be given to the church, if you as a leader feel that's a word for the church, you have the option to say, that's a good word. But if you see that person will not have the ability to throw that word, what I normally do is take the word of this sister and take it and say, I got the word from sister so-and-so, and this is the word that the Lord spoke through her. Ako yung bumato ng word because I felt like she will not be able to throw the word. If I feel that this person naman is able to give a word that would bring life to the people, then I get her and give the mic to her and give the word to the Lord. There are times naman that I'm leading the service and somebody comes up to me and tells me that I feel this is a word of the Lord. You have to have the confidence to tell the person, if it is not the word of God for now, I tell the person, I'm sorry, appreciate your hearing, please volunteer again, but I don't think that's a word for now. Please try again, please constantly try and come to me. Because I don't want to tell it, hindi yan word ni Lord, bubo ko na lang. You know, I didn't want to say that because I want to encourage her to continue risking and believing God for the voice of God. So I tell her, sorry, that's not the word for now. Or maybe I can just say, maybe that's not for now. Maybe towards the end of the service, maybe that will be a word for all of us. So those are some of the things, the practical things now for us to know how to handle people that move in the prophetic. So any question so far? No one? Ray? Anyone? Good. So everybody okay? Everybody clear? Okay. Next. The ways of the Spirit, talk about A, message or content, and then and B, messenger. The messenger. The messenger of the people that give the word. The messenger. The spiritual state principle, number one. The spiritual state principle. If I hear a person prophesying and I know that he is not doing well in the Lord, I will judge the prophecy very carefully. Furthermore, when I'm going through spiritual struggles, I exercise great caution in receiving prophetic revelation. The spiritual state principle. Yes?
State.
State. I'm sorry. Status. Spiritual state principle. You know what? I'm very careful. When I'm tired, I'm careful to give a prophetic word, especially when it's directive, especially when it's sometimes correctional, because many times when prophets are tired, or when you're tired, just give it up. I mean, if you're tired, it's hard to minister. I really have a hard time ministering to people when I'm really tired. That's why yesterday, because I knew I was going to come here to teach, I didn't go to work because I had fever Monday. So yesterday, we had staff meetings. I had to ask God, I need to rest yesterday. So I rested yesterday so that I could give full attention for today. But there are times when you just have to learn to say no to certain things, because when you are burned out, it's hard to minister when you're burned out. It's almost like you're running on empty. I know campus ministers can run on empty because I was a campus minister myself. I'm telling you, I've run on empty for so many times. I just did all the things I had to do. That's why I appreciate my wife. For those of you that are single, we don't have wives yet, but our brother has a wife now. We'll thank you. Stop, you know. And for those of you that don't have lifelong partners yet, you know, I hope you have friends that can tell you, relax, stop, because your effectiveness lessens when you are drained and physically tired. So the spiritual statements is very important. Number two, doctrinal position principle. A person's doctrine can be a filter through which they receive or proclaim revelation. Take, for example, doctrine revelation. If people have a revelation that God is always angry at them, you know people like that? Have you met people like that?
Yeah.
Yung laging galit, talk to me, parang laging harsh. You know why? Because his doctrine and his revelation, he feels that God treats him that way. Because your doctrine kasi filters influences the ministry that you give. If you believe in your heart that God is a gracious God and a loving God, how many of you minister the same way? If your doctrine is a harsh God, if you believe that God is harsh and legalistic and you have to do this, you feel like God's telling you, do this, how many of you know that is how that's the ministry that will come out of you? You will all, same way with prophetic words, the same way with anything that you do in ministry. It, your doctrine has everything to do with how we minister to people. That's why we go through staff there to help us, to teach us, to train us, give us a picture, an accurate picture of who God is. Because when we, if our theology is correct and right, how many of the ministry is fantastic? The ministry is great because it affects us. There are three. Number three, the character development principle. It is helpful to know the maturity level of the person giving or receiving a prophetic word. If he is immature in the realm of the spirit, we should judge the word more carefully. That's why we constantly tell people, lalo na pag nagsisimulaan sa spiritual gifts or ano, we tell them to stay in the realms of encouragement, strength, and comfort. I tell them, like for example, there was this individual, I don't have to say the name, good heart, and loves God, super. But there was one time I joined him, sabi ko, come with me, we'll go in to do prophetic ministry. Tapos mamaya, talagang ano, I saw really accurate. Talagang, he would go, you know, I feel like you had a headache just 2 hours ago. You know, talagang very, very accurate. Pero there are times that he'll miss it. There are times he misses it, and there are times it's accurate, there are times he misses it. And this is what my advice to him. Sabi ko, why don't you first practice investigating first rather than saying it right away? Because when you say it, when you miss it, it's hard. Like for example, the first one time, this guy was saying, Buntis, the Lord says, your son, you know, blah, blah, blah. Confident, your son. Parang nagpa-ultrasound na, babae pala yung mag-iingat niya. So sometimes I don't directly say it, I investigate. Like for example, there's one time I was giving a word for this person, Buntis din, and I sense that this it's going to be a son. And I ask, you know, your baby, nagpa-ultrasound na ba? So when she says, yeah, lalaki. Yeah, that was my cue. That was my cue. Okay, I have a word. Because the Lord says, your son, blah, blah, blah. I give the word. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be, sometimes we want, like I said, to impress people for accuracy. But sometimes I'd rather be on the side of safety so that we don't get confused. Right. I'm careful when it comes to my pregnancy. I'm careful when it comes to, you know, when it comes to, you know, in fact, I don't prophesy who they marry. You know, I don't prophesy. The Lord says you're married. I don't prophesy also healing, especially if I have prior knowledge of a person's sickness. I don't prophesy. I'd rather prophesy something that I have no prior knowledge about. Let's say when a person has cancer, and then I don't know, and just, you know, I have no idea that this person, and I say, the Lord says I'm going to heal you, but powerfully on. But if I have prior knowledge and then you have cancer and then later the Lord says, I'm going to heal you, blah, 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 and then later it doesn't happen, then you tell you that person ends up devastated. And the family devastated because they have all those words that you gave. And then it doesn't happen. They end up looking at you and saying, sabi ng prophet, you know, hindi nangyari. And they end up disdaining the prophetic gift because they feel like they'll get hurt again. So those are some of the practical things that many times you just have to be careful when we give it. Anyway, so where was I? See, okay, I mentioned the character development principle, right? Okay, so okay, let us see method. The method in giving. The first one is the shepherd principle. The shepherd principle. Does the prophetic word come in a way that gently leads? Well, in my own experience, God has never driven me, nor has He used terror. Just as the sheep know the voice of their shepherd, we will learn to recognize the voice of our gentle master. Method, the shepherd principle. Very important. This principle is not just in the prophetic or gifts. This is very important in anything that we do as campus ministers, as youth minister. There has to be a shepherd principle. There has to be a side to us that gently leads people. You know what I'm talking about? Whatever ministry is in the word in, it's very important that we have this thing that we, you know, that parang ano, that how should I say, clean, they feel that they're cared. They feel like that what ministry, whatever ministry you show them, they feel that God is leading them in gentleness and in kindness. I don't know what I'm talking about. You'll know that when you guys have kids. You have kids. I have 5 kids. Anybody here have kids aside from CJ? Yeah. You know what that means, what this means, the shepherd principle, when you start moving that. Next is the comforter principle. The comforter principle, prophetic revelation, which is really from God's Spirit, will have some qualities listed in the description of this Holy Spirit's ministry. The comforter principle. The comforter principle. Then number 3, the still small voice principle. The still small voice principle. I normally hear God's voice in a way it is described in 1 Kings 19, 11 to 13. Sometimes, even in our own lives, how many hear God speak to us in the quietness of our soul? He doesn't scream at us. He speaks to us in that gentle voice. Whether ministry, whether... If we receive words from God that way, how many know our people receive that word as well? Just a tip when it comes to counseling. When you start counseling people, you know, sometimes I bring the ball back to them. You know, I've gotten into trouble many times in counseling because I administered to this couple. This couple was really fighting. This guy was threatening to kill, with a gun. Hold the gun and pointed the gun at the wife. So the wife would come over the house and tell me, my husband's letting me kill me, blah, 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 blah. So syempre, panic ka, diba? So sabi ko, leave him first. Leave him. Sabi ko, because you want, for your safety, leave him, bring your kids somewhere. And then later on, I found out that this couple pala told another pastor. And then this pastor basically spoke to me and he said, why are you counseling them to be separated? I didn't counsel them to be separated because they were going through a desperate situation. It was an emergency situation. I had to tell her to go and to leave. And so I got into trouble for that. Now, what I normally do now, because I was the one that dictated what they needed to do. So now, when people are going through some things, I bring the ball back to them. Especially when they tell me, Pastor, what should I do? And then I ask them the question again, what do you think you should do? Because when they make a decision, they end up deciding it for themselves, not me. Because every time you decide things for people, they end up blaming you if it doesn't work out. Anybody here have been in that situation before? You end up giving this counsel, and then later on they do it, doesn't work, they come up to you and tell you, Pastor, you counsel ko, medyo lamalako, galing nanay ko sa'yo. Because it was on you. But if you learn to give counsel, in a way that you bring the ball back to them. It's your decision. Then it's great. I learned that from Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve, every time I asked for counsel, he would always bring it back to me. Okay, and then Pastor Steve, there was one time I wanted to quit ministry. Pastor Steve, I want to stop. I just want to go into business. I want to quit ministry, blah, 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 blah. And then I was hoping that he'd say, yeah, I think you need to quit ministry. I think you need to go, you're right. I thought he was going to tell me, I think it's about time. And he looked at me and said, why don't you pray and ask God, whatever God tells you, I'm for it. And he said, really? And then you know what? 2 days after, I received a prophetic word. Everything I told Pastor Steve, the prophet exposed it. He said, you want to quit? You want to blah, blah, blah. The Lord is saying, don't quit. It's just a blood in me. And I ended up staying. But Pastor Steve never told me what I had to do. Because he had to bring it back.